Welcome to the Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Everybody, and welcome to another Hour of Truth here. My name is Rick Utzler, and we have some folks there in South Carolina. Phil, who do you have with you?
We have Brad Capshaw.
Good morning.
And myself, Philip Walthall.
Okay, and James, are you with us as well?
Yes, sir.
Outstanding, and you're over there in Georgia.
Yes, sir.
And I am running out of Arizona. So we're sort of everywhere, east and west, and, well, mostly east and just west. So if we got Karen back with us, she'd be in Texas, and that would be, we'd be filling in all the gaps, wouldn't we?
I enjoyed having Karen on last week. That was really nice.
All right, so first thing I want to do, because I am going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Brad, but did you say Happy Easter?
I did.
And why?
Resurrection Sunday, buddy.
But Easter? Have you learned nothing? I mean, Easter?
All right, so Constantine screwed some stuff up. That's true.
You didn't meet Brother Warren. But there was a time back in the day, and please, Brother Davey, if I get the order of things wrong, it was actually before my time, but there was some inference of whether or not Brother Davey was going to go see Brother Warren for Holy Week. And I believe, Brother Davey about went ballistic. Holy Week? Look, man, Easter is not Christian. It's pagan. It deals with fertility rites. Don't associate us with that.
All right. Message received.
Other churches,
I'll make the change.
If other churches can do it if they want. But we do not celebrate that. We celebrate the birth of Christ, I hope, every single day. Amen?
Amen.
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 Do not get hung up in that traditional nonsense. And I challenge anyone to go up there and actually do a little research where Easter comes from. It is not Christian. It was adopted so that they could placate the pagans. There's enough pagan placating that's already going on in the church. God, we don't need to be part of that. Anyway, enough on that subject. Phil.
Yes, sir.
You had some good news this week, did you not?
Yes, sir, I sure have.
What was your good news, my friend?
Hope is pregnant.
Oh, I said good news, man.
No.
That's cool.
Okay. There's some other, there's some other good news. I mean, I got a chance to share my testimony a couple times this week, which was exciting for me. I love doing that. And it really, in doing that, to me, it just reflected. I mean, as I was sharing it, it was like, I mean, as I was sharing my testimony, it was just a highlight. I mean, for me to actually look back and see all the good things the Lord has done for me. I don't know if that makes sense, but I mean, it was enjoyable to do and to share.
I think we as Christians, Phil, forget how powerful remembering that is. In Revelation, it says what? They overcame him by what?
The word of their testimony.
Blood of the Lamb.
The blood of the Lamb.
The word of the testimony. and they love not their life unto the death. That word of your of their testimony, that experience that you had of God's grace and provision and sustenance and forgiveness and redemption that he has worked in you personally, there is no more powerful word that you can give somebody, because you are, if you have a, you know, if you, I don't want to be, anyway, if it means something to you, you're going to be passionate about that, those experiences. It's going to be, you're going to be excited about it. You're going to want to tell people the good things God has done for you. Amen?
Amen.
And when you remember that, there are things that start coming in. I mean, I think we have things that battle against us all the time to try and get us to forget the goodness of God.
Amen. Yeah, that's true. I shouldn't say amen to it, but that is very true. Go ahead. I apologize.
Well, I was just going to say, when we go back and remember those things, then it pushes that stuff out.
Absolutely. And it pushes off that unbelief. Because it's easy. It's so easy to forget. It kind of reminds the scripture of the sin that what so easily besets us, the unbelief that so easily besets us. In the middle of a day, in a hard day with situations going all awry, you know, it's easy to forget what God has done for us and how he brought us through. And it's easy to forget just, and our eyes just be set on that situation and kind of us setting ourselves under that circumstance, which the Lord doesn't want us set under that circumstance. Like, what are you doing there type thing? It could happen so easily. We get our eyes off him and see that. And it's those types of things that we remember what the Lord has brought us through. There's a confidence that we have in him and what he's able to do, what he has already done. And we can draw off that experience and yet stand in the gospel and the victory that he has for us.
Amen. You go back but and you remember that stuff. You know, Paul tells Timothy to stir up the gift that's in you?
Amen.
So, I mean, we have to go back and remember that stuff. I mean, you go in, that's a kind of a different application, but the idea is that, you know, we got to engage. And when you engage, man, it just makes opportunity.
Amen. It sure does. And not that there's not opportunity all around, because there is. It's just that we're able to see the opportunity and seize the opportunity. And, you know, it's easy to forget. I mean, you look at, you know, they had the Passover. Why they had the Passover is to remember what the Lord had done for his people. And you've seen where you can easily, you don't want to let that slip, what the Lord has done and the victory that he has had in your life personally, because it's so easy to forget. We have an examples. You know, you look at the children of Israel. I mean, they got out to the desert and it was like they forgot all the things that happened. The Red Sea opening up, the provision that they had in the land where God showed them his power. And they forgot. All they saw was, oh, he brought us out here to die. And you can see where that unbelief set in. And because they listened and took heed to the unbelief, instead of taking heed to the Lord, you see where it kept them from attaining the promises that which was before them to have.
Yes, it did. That whole generation had to die in the wilderness. James, how are you doing this morning?
Well, Rick, and I know I said it last week, but I think in that unbelief, even though the Lord in our lives and the children of Israel's has proven he is faithful, we judge him unfaithful in those situations if we do not trust that he is able. to perform whatever needs to be done in the situation that we're in.
Yeah, he's certainly demonstrated.
He's proven it to us. I mean, when I came back to the Lord, I mean, my situation was I was running a quarry. I left there, had no job, have a mortgage, have no money coming in, and take a job at AutoZone for the least money I've made since I was 16. Didn't even bring home enough really to cover the bills. You know that, Rick. And yet the Lord provided every month. If you added it up, it would have never worked.
Amen. And not only that, in the midst of that, James, I remember the conversation, and I wasn't there for the conversation. You were, so I just remember the story about the conversation you had with Rick, and or not with Rick, but with Steve, your Uncle Steve, and said about going out to the conference. And you had just landed that job. You quit your other job. You just landed the job at AutoZone. And he's like, James, I believe you really need to go out to the conference.
And yeah, I had.
Go ahead. It was your story. You go ahead, brother. But it just
when I was talking with Steve, he did. He told me that I think you need to go to the conference. And I want to say this was 2 weeks before conference. And I had $500 in a money market in Vermont, and I think my plane ticket was $475. And I'm talking, this is, Rose and I weren't married then, and I'm talking with Steve, and we order the plane ticket, and I come in and tell Rosemary. And boy, was she livid, because I hadn't talked with her about it. And that, one, I didn't need to, and that's something people need to understand, because she's not my authority. But the other thing is it was a starting point for Rose to move forward in the Lord. And through that whole situation, coming back, the Lord preserved that job for me, so I had it when I came back. And Rose, in those next few months, got to see that the Lord was faithful and provided for us. She would ask me, well, how are we going to pay for this? How are we going to pay for this? I said, just trust that the Lord is faithful. I can get her out here. That was my answer. Believe that he will provide. And as you all know, he did. And it was a testimony to her to believe and put her faith in the Lord.
I remember some of those times, James, because it wasn't like you were like brimming and overfilled with wonderful, you know, amounts of confidence. You had to do a lot of praying in the midst of that, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
And it was good for you too.
That is correct. And I'm sure in myself I had unbelief. Do you know what I'm saying? That I had to battle against. But I couldn't allow her to see that, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
I needed to stand strong for her sake. I mean, you know, I know that I battled with it, but she didn't need to see that.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I know with both you and Brad, maybe you too. I'm less so. I just don't know as much with you as with James and Philip. But both of you guys were sort of wild childs, and there was something that became bigger than you. For Phil, it was, you know, the coming on of a new baby, and. You know, as some people like to point out to you, Phil, boy, you had a great plan in place, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Everything worked out. It was perfect. I mean, yeah, you planned it specifically to knock up the girl you just broke up with, not have a job, no place to live. You really worked that out just beautifully, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Not at all. I remember that George was my boss at the time, and George, he's telling me about, it was a funny situation. George is sitting here, he's telling me about it. He's like, and it was a guy that used to work with us in the same exact situation as me, same exact. He's like, man, he's so stupid. This guy, this other guy's talking about. Because he's so stupid. You know, here he is. He's working for some guy that's not paying him. He's got this girl knocked up. And, you know, what is he going to do? You know, he's so stupid. I said, that was the same situation I was in, George. He goes, no, but you had a plan, Phil. You had a plan. I said, George, I didn't have any plan at all. And the plans that I did have were not the ones that came about and were pretty sorry plans, George. I said, I was in the exact situation. I said, George, don't you see the only thing that was different between me and him was I turned to Jesus Christ. That was it. That's the only difference there, George. And that's it.
Your MO, your modus operandi previously, when things got tough, Phil got going, right?
Oh, yeah. I got uncomfortable,
just go, you know, find some rock to crawl under and do your thing until it got too uncomfortable. Then you'd come back. I mean, how many years did you play that scenario?
Oh, man, I was like I remember David describing it. I was like I've been like a yo-yo. And I mean, this was like 7 years. No, it was longer than that. I mean, shoot, 17, about 25. That's about 8 years. Yeah. 8 years it was like that.
And I liken to what happened to you is, and the vision I have, and it's kind of a graphic one, so I apologize. It's like God took a nail gun and drove your feet into the floor.
Absolutely.
Thunk, you're staying right there. And because all of a sudden something was more important to you, and for some reason, and I thank God for it, but, you know, your desire to be a father and a husband in a right way was greater than your desire to run away. And God took that, which was about as bass-ackward as you could imagine, and did it and worked a miracle. And James, I mean, your situation, I remember our conversation. It was me and Megan and you and Rose, and we had, you know, the plan A, plan B, and Rose says, well, I like plan B. You remember how that went? You know, there was something that was more important than maybe continuing the way it was, or... And you had to make choices that were hard, but were bigger than you and were important, not only for your own walk, but for those that the Lord had put really in your charge.
Well, amen, Rick.
And right away, I mean, with James, it was an amazing thing to watch, because really, there was just no sense. There was no logical rhyme or reason for you to make the decisions and choices you did, other than they were what you were directed to do by your authority in the Lord. Authorities, I should say. And when you did it and you humbled yourself and you did those things, God moved like immediately. I mean, there was like very little delay. I mean, it was like need deliverance. And that track record began to become established, not only for you, so that you knew that your faith and confidence wasn't misplaced, but also for Rose as well, because she knows doesn't matter what it looks like, she can trust God.
Amen.
And a big part of that for both of you guys, a huge part of that, was being receptive to those the Lord had put over you and be obedient to them.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I've been less involved, Brad, with your goings on, but I don't know how you're. I don't know if you have experiences of like experiences. But I hope
they told me to stick in a job I didn't like for two extra years, and that was, you know, that was pretty instructional. But you know. I mean, it's always the same path. The thing, what I was thinking about for all the fellows you're talking to, in the middle of it, you don't see what will be. You know, it's not a blind faith, but I guess a raw faith. You can trust that God is good to His word, faithful to His word. In the middle of it it don't feel good. Just that.
It can. I think that if we recognize and accept that those that God has put over us are not there for our harm but for our good, and we reject anything that comes against that, then even the things that we're going through that are difficult, we can see the opportunity for the deliverance in it. You know, I go back to that story with Saul and Samuel, where he gave sacrifice instead of waiting for Samuel to show up. And Samuel comes up and he says, "What are you doing? Didn't you realize that God was going to establish your entire kingdom through this?" I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but the inference was, yeah, God was going to establish your entire kingdom through this deliverance. I mean, Saul was facing 60,000 plus innumerable others with 600 men. Yeah, I get the panic. I understand the panic button on that one. I get it. And he bailed before God could bring the deliverance. And I wonder how many times people do that. They panic. They start fearing people.
I think a lot in the, it's about the fear of man. I think a lot in the little ways. I mean, you're talking about an extreme thing, but in the normal day to day, I mean, it comes out and, "Oh, I don't want to say this. They'll look down on me." That sort of thing. All the time for all people, but too much.
All right, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I just had a plate delivered to my table here. It is French toast, fresh, with fried egg on toast. So I'm going to turn this mic off and let you guys talk, and I'll just jump in. Hopefully I won't have a mouthful of food. So, Phil, it's all yours.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. I mean, one of the things that I remember things, and, you know, as Rick's talking about being in that panic mode on many fronts, and I actually can relate to that very much, and bailing before getting the deliverance. And it was an interesting thing. I quite remember many times talking to Steve about certain situations, it may be work or in other areas, where sometimes it's been like, "Praise God, hallelujah, that's the direction I'm looking for, because I'm digging, I'm looking for a direction." There were some times where it's like standing up and taking responsibility, like a challenge to stand up and take responsibility on the situation that I'm in front of. And I remember kind of, you know, really battling it, something I didn't want to do, scared, did not want to face up to, did not... and any of those things. And yet, when I did just do that and submitted it unto what was the advice before me, and I did just that, it was a deliverance. It was a deliverance for me and others around me, and it gave good, clear direction for others if they would have it. And it went beyond just being... And these challenges and taking on responsibility about these things went beyond me and just me being blessed by it. But it was for others around me at work or at home or in the ministry or whatever the case may. But it was opportunity for them as well to be blessed of the Lord. And see, I know Rick was talking about a little bit, and some of the things he was talking about there a little bit, as far as it can feel good there, Brad. And one of the things that he was talking about on that front is when you just submit unto him, and he knows that, you know, that those people that are set over you, that the Lord's put over you, is actually for your good. I just know that to be the case, and you can, and it can be a great relief. Not that it's not, there's not challenges that are facing up, but if I did not step forward and submit unto them in the midst of the challenge that was before me, see, it would have squashed the opportunity for others. Okay. And then it would have put me also squashed the opportunity for me as well.
And you jumped off on that with responsibility. You know, if you, not you, if we can accept responsibility. I was given a book to read on management, and the guy started out with, you have to accept the fact that you are utterly responsible for what goes on in your shop or in your workplace as a manager. And that's a hard one to swallow. It really is, especially when you're talking about the actions of other people, all of whom have free will.
I can relate.
If we accept, excuse me, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
If we accept responsibility for our actions, it's harrowing, it's scary, it's hurtful. And yet, that is the jumping off point for the fix. I'll give you an example. My kids collided in the dark a year plus ago, and we ended up with Micah in ICU. It was life-threatening. JC with a tooth knocked out, another tooth next to it dead. It's a horrendous collision in the dark. And Steve said, and I'm not sure who he was speaking to, says it was my fault as a dad, because I had failed as a dad to enforce discipline in multiple ways in my own home. I wasn't there. I was at work. How was I responsible? But it rang true to me. I was responsible. And so the initial response to that is hurt, anger, self-defense. You know, the flesh rises up. We could all picture that. But on the back end of it, if we can accept responsibility for what we do or fail to do, then when these points of correction come in, I started out the show this morning. I don't like that too well. Oh, well. You know, tough nuts. If I can accept responsibility for what I do and fail to do, it's going to make that correction come through loud and clear like a bell ringing. And that is the path forward. And the end of those things are peace. Right. You said.
Yeah. And you know, the one thing is that self-defense and all those things. That
well, it's
kind of
always so, there for me for the moment.
You need. Yeah. And the thing is that to actually utterly cast that down, you started off with that, taking on your responsibility of that thing.
That's a voice of the flesh. That ain't never going away.
But you can come to the place, your soul, Brad, can come to the place where you go unto the Lord and you take full responsibility. And you come to the Lord and you can give that to him. And he then, see, now you're at a place where you can receive the direction
exactly
that he gives you to go forward. And that's a much better way than the way that you have been operating.
Natural man, yeah, absolutely.
A much better way. And see, it's in that place where you absolutely take full responsibility. I mean, what was David's prayer? You can look at the difference between Saul and his justification unto Samuel, unto the Lord, and all those things. I fulfilled the commandment of the Lord. No, what's this bleeding of the sheep I hear? What was David's response?
On that first one, Phil, where he was given sacrifice, you know, he says, well, I feared the people. That was Saul's problem from the whole thing. I mean, from the
right.
get-go, he feared the people. Fear
of man.
Every turn.
Yep, absolutely. And that was it. And then he blamed, and see, what did he do? In the midst of it, he blamed the people, he blamed God, he never came to the point where it was his fault. Now, read Psalm 51. David, against right. thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And then he goes down in that, I might need to just pull it up, where he talks about that thou mayest be clear when thou judgest.
Yeah,
he's saying, I'm not making excuse. This is on. I did this, Lord. I did this. And when you can really, really come to that place of accepting that responsibility and recognizing that you are dead wrong on those things, see, and then look, he can wash all that away and redeem it. And not only that, he can give you now, you're at a place. Because you recognize you can't do anything.
Can't fix it.
Not without him, you can reckon, and then you can receive that direction to yet go forward in. You wanted somebody, I heard the mic click.
No, that was just me. I'm just coming back on. I finished my lovely breakfast. Thank you, Sue.
That didn't take very long.
No, I was hungry. That
well, I'll just hop talking back about in for a second, if I may.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
What we're talking about here is subjecting yourself to pain.
No.
No, yeah, because it's hard.
No, it's not pain. See, and that's, no, it's not pain. It's a relief. I mean, praise God.
On the backside of it.
Yeah, but when you're talking, and that's where Rick was talking about, it can be joyous because that's exactly it. You've been managing the way you do things for so long, and it's been so freaking screwed up. And I say you, me as well, it's been so screwed up. That's painful. See, that is, that is,
the pain comes in here. The pain comes in the here, Phil. When, and Christians struggle with this all the time, and the moment you can understand this and break free of it, your perception, perspective, and walk with the Lord will change. I guarantee you this. When you see, or when you're still connected to that desire, needs, wants, lust thereof, of the flesh of your carnal man, then it is painful.
Okay. I understand.
When you are trying to blend your walk with God and your walk with the world, it's painful. Because then you see doing that thing for God, or making that choice, or making that right decision, as somehow it's a loss on the other side. Because it's seen as a loss of freedom, loss of money, loss of a girlfriend, loss of a car, whatever. It's some sort of thing I don't, quote, get to do, or some other thing I, quote, have to do. When that is where your mind's at, then those things, then doing the things of God are a hardship. When your mind is that everything God asks you to do is liberty, then there is no pain. And you may need to chew on that a little bit and pray about it and ask God to show you that, how that operates in your heart. But the only time you feel pain is when you are still in league with the carnal man, because it's certainly not painful to your spirit, is it?
No, not to the spirit.
But it's painful to the carnal man, and if you feel that pain and it is painful to you, then it is because you are still yet in the carnal man.
There's a point of repentance where we say, Lord, I can't manage my own life, or I'm wrong, you're right, I need your help. That happens for all believers. Along the path, there are many points where things get brought to light, as they should. And that point of separation, it is, as you say, of course, that it's a separation of the carnal desires from the right desires. And that's painful. I'm not saying it's a right thing. I mean, it's certainly a...
There is a moment, there's a moment of decision that comes up. If you live in that space where everything God is asking you to do is somehow a loss or somehow a burden, and we know how the Lord feels about his people saying the burden of the Lord, right? You don't want to touch that.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole, right?
All right.
There is a moment of discomfort. It, how long it stays uncomfortable is completely and totally up to you. Does that make any sense?
And it does. And see, you can move from that place, from it being a discomfort to being a great joy and a relief, because you're getting the direction that you want, that you need. You're getting the freedom that you need. And that's a great joy. I mean, that's a great joy.
Yeah, the flesh is an imitative God.
Hold on, let me say it. I used to live in that space where, you know, that, you know, somehow the things of God were somehow painful. I used to live there. I mean, I, you know, if I had a doctorate in frowardness, I had a palatial residence in that space you're talking about. I get it. I mean, personally, I can relate to feeling that way. And I have, I pray, learned to see things differently. And I learned how living there is exactly where I never, ever, 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 ever want to go. And I know, I wish I could articulate it better. I really do. I know that when I was there, it was because I saw doing the things of God as somehow a loss. Does that make any sense, Phil? I mean, am I?
It does. No,
it's like I'm losing myself, or I'm losing my, I'm no longer my own man, etc. Well, that's, you know, like you said today. Thank you for stealing my line today, Phil. I do want credit for that.
What's that?
The whole thing, you know, like, you know, look at your life and what kind of, you know, exactly your management of it. How well has that gone for you?
Not too good.
You know,
but see, and that. Go ahead.
No, it's just.
I do understand exactly what you're saying.
It's so hard to do this. Well, it's really hard because you're trying to feel good about it, or you're trying to have some sort of, you're trying to get the flesh to agree, and all of that is just ever so miserable. It just doesn't work. So
you got that right.
And so that's where I want people to know. Yeah, James.
A very simple example is, I think all of you remember the skid steer.
I forgot, but thanks for bringing that up.
I'm waiting. Are y'all done?
Can I say one thing before you start this, James? I remember looking at this job that he called me. Hey, Phil, will you help me out with this thing? So I go down there and I look at it. Well, I didn't help him out that much at all because the thing broke down that we worked. But anyways, I remember looking at the thing and I was thinking, what the hell is he doing taking on this project? This thing is ridiculous amount of work he's got to do there. But go ahead, James.
I can remember after we got it sandblasted and everything. I tried to paint it. And when I say I tried to paint it, I tried to paint it like 3 or 4 times. And every time I painted, it could be the most beautiful day you've ever seen. And within 15 minutes of paint being on it, it was just like the clouds came and the rain poured. It was an unbelievable thing. I stripped paint off it at least 3 times to repaint it. And I'm talking with Rick. You know, you bring it to your authority. And Rick has a very simple solution. Buy a carport. And here I am. I'm thinking, well, that's a waste of money. I mean, Rick probably remembers the conversation. I justified all it needs one day, Rick, of clear sky. I mean, do I really need to go spend money on this carport? Now, I mean, looking back, do I think I would have ever gotten that clear day? It was proving to be I would never get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I bought gallons of paint to only strip it back off. I've spent more in paint trying to repaint than the carport cost, probably.
And then the time on top of it.
So I go by it. I paid $150 for this carport. I'm trying to justify $150. What happened when I bought the carport, I painted the skid steer. And it didn't matter if it rained after. Obedience, that's all it was. I will tell you, it may have been the best $150 I ever spent out of the shop. I was able to paint all the panels for the bus now. I mean, it's an amazing thing. Had I not done that, I'd probably still have a skid steer here. 3 years later, or two, whatever it is.
Yeah, I remember that skid steer.
Well, I remember it. How long and praise, did you get that job done, James?
We did. How
long did it take you to do it?
I would say maybe 9 months. It should have took like three.
How much of that was
probably
paint?
Six. Probably six.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and see, I mean, that's our Lord. He's like, I got something much better for you right here.
$150.
Oh, yeah, right. I got something much better. No, Lord, I think I got this.
Yeah, Lord, just give me a day. Yeah. One day.
I got something much better for you over here. No, Lord, I think I got this over here. And then all of a sudden things unravel, fall apart, and you're going, Lord, I don't got this. I need your help. Oh, okay, good. See, I got this great thing for you right over here.
I mean, if you guys could see the weather, Phil, the one time I had two big logs, like 15 feet long, and the skid steer boom probably weighs, I don't know, 800, 1,000 pounds. I have it standing up. I mean, I can't even shake the thing because it's wide, sitting on these two logs. So I painted, you know, everything but the one side, and then I'd flip it. I got it painted. The wind came, and it blew it off the logs. I don't even know how the wind could blow it off the logs, but it tipped the 1,000-pound boom off the logs. Wow. I mean, it was unbelievable. No matter what I did, it wouldn't work.
And how hard?
But it sure worked. When I listened to what Rick said,
how hard would it have been to just have been obedient in the beginning?
Oh my gosh. I love my carport, Rick.
but that, you know, whatever mechanisms you were going through in your mind that prevented you from just doing that which you were
given,
directed.
It was simply, it's just like it was a money pit, and I got to spend more money. Are you sure, you know, do I need to do that? Well, I mean, do you want the skid steer out of your yard? Yeah. Well, go buy the carport. Rick, do you know how much time I have in this thing, and you want me to put more money into it? Do you want it out of your yard? Yeah, go buy the carport.
Or how about just bringing something up to your to your authority that you could have brought up, like, you know,
6 months earlier?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And see, where the point where you can get excited, okay, where you can get excited, and the one thing that I wanted to try, where it says it doesn't have to be painful, because it really doesn't have to be painful. Because it's like when you hear that news and that direction, you hear that news and you hear that direction, you can get excited because you are looking for the way that the Lord has for you to go forward in. And yet there you get your answer, and that's where it could be very, very exciting. But it can be painful, and that's that choice that you brought up there, Rick. Because it could have been very, very painful for a long time if you sat there and did not get the full carport. It could have been a year because you didn't put the $150 into it, you know?
Yeah, within a week of the carport, everything was painted.
And we can move. We can choose to be from that place where this is painful, but an exciting, joyous thing because you get the news to go forward. And even if it's hard challenges, it's still something that you can rest. That the Lord, what he has given you that to do is a good thing, and it's going to be a profitable thing, not for just yourself, but for others. And that's a place we can rest in, and that's a choice that we can choose to rest in.
I want to loop back for just a minute. You know, I want to go back. I don't want to break away from the truth that it doesn't have to be a big deal. It does. I mean, if we are instantly obedient, it doesn't have to be a big deal. There are things, Brad, I will say, that are more difficult than others. And I'm remembering Jesus at the rock.
Yeah.
Where he sweat blood. Now, his admonition to us in Hebrews is that none of us have sweated blood striving against sin. Correct?
That's right.
Very true, yes, sir.
Okay. But there are some things that take some effort. If we have the right perspective, though, and again, in Hebrews, the whole thing was that Jesus had the right perspective. He was able to maintain the fact that he was doing this for the deliverance of
us.
All mankind. Yeah, us. And because of that, he could go and do it.
Right.
And he was able to, hold on, let me just finish this and I'm going to let people wrap up their thoughts. He was able to say, not my will, your will be done. And that, to me, brings everything around full circle. God, not my will, your will. If we can get that fixed in our head, sometimes getting to that place, there's going to be some effort. There's definitely going to be effort. We don't have to live in that state of pain, though. We can come out the other, you know, we make the decision, we make it, and then we let God's deliverance reign. And it's amazing how quick it can be.
Amen. Amen. So and
go ahead, Phil. We're kind of running short on time. So, Phil, I want to give everybody an opportunity to say a few things and we'll wrap it up. Go ahead, Phil.
Okay. Two things in that I highlight. One, it says also for the joy that was set before him. And the other thing that I see in the midst of it, it's kind of like that exercising your faith in the middle of the situation, which is much more precious than gold or silver than anything else, because sometimes, I mean, it could be a struggle, not my will be done, but yours, to the point where he was resisting against sin, he was sweating blood. We have to come to that place also in the sense of not my will be done, but yours. But what happens is in that choice, there's also what happens is that his faith gets built up in you through some of the most trialing times. And those are the things that can, it's like training ground. I mean, look at David with the lion and the bear and the lion and the bear to Goliath and a confidence in the Lord grew, but these were very uncomfortable situations that he'd gone through to have that confidence in the Lord when the time was, and he built that relationship with the Lord, which was far precious than gold or silver than anything. But it was through those times that he got to that place where he could go to the Lord.
Okay.
If we can get to the place, Phil, where when something comes up, our flesh is always going to be against it, but where we can just laugh at it and trust the Lord to accomplish it, because we know, not only through our testimony, but the testimony in his word, that he is faithful.
Amen.
Then we can really, I mean, it'll just move forward. And I know that, you know what I mean? For me, I need to be more diligent in that.
Brad,
that's where he can do an immediate move.
Amen.
Brad, you want to add anything to this?
Yeah, I heard a preacher tell me one time when that flesh comes calling, you just don't take the call.
That is a good way to look at it. Well, guys, I guess that wraps it up. Thank you all for listening. It's been another Hour of Truth with got Phil and Brad and James and myself. We thank you guys again.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.